Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, champs. This episode of Hoovering is with one of the most physically extraordinary guests I have ever had on, elite CrossFitter Lucy Campbell. If you don't know what CrossFit is, it's the type of PE that I've been doing for the last 2 years. It's about weightlifting, gymnastics, mobility and fitness, basically. So it gets you in the everything, but the focus is on functional performance. I've visited lots of different CrossFit gyms now, and the one I go to, there are no mirrors. For me, I found an incredible community, including a new set of real life actual friends from doing it. Anyway, once a year, CrossFit has a competition that anyone can enter called the Open. And then that gets whittled down over kind of, you know, a process of kind of quarterfinals, semifinals, etc. It's complicated, but it gets whittled down. By August, that happens in February, by August it's whittled down to the most insanely fit and strong few people in the whole world, and those few handfuls go on to compete in Madison, Wisconsin at the CrossFit Games every year. Now, that's a 5-day mega competition where all the events are secret until the last minute. Lucy, today's guest, made it to the games this year as a rookie, for the first of many times, I think, and has just, this August, been crowned the 16th fittest woman in the whole fucking world. She's a baby, but she's competing with giants. She managed to actually win two events. She is incredible. Okay, before we get into the podcast, though, I need to thank you for listening. Please tell other people about Hoovering. I love it when you do that. One way of telling other people is just to subscribe to the podcast or give it a 5-star review. It bumps it up the ratings and helps other people find out about it. If you've got spare money, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod, and you'll see the sorts of things I'll swap you in exchange for your hard-earned pennies, including guest recipes and exclusive content, and recently some really great recipe cooking videos made by me. Wench, my stand-up show, is on tour It started its tour this yesterday. Tonight, if you're listening the day this comes out. It's in Colchester. It's coming all over the place. I'm so proud of this show. Oh, God, I'm coming everywhere from Sheffield to Edinburgh to Exeter. I would love to have you come. Please go to my website, jessicafosterq.com, and you will see all of my tour dates. Or if you just Google Jessica Fosterq Wench Tour, my people running my tour are called Little Wonder, and my dates are all listed on their website too. Come to wherever is closest to your house. Tickets to those things, as I said, are on my website. And also, please use the podcast notes. It takes me ages to make them. I put links into everything interesting that Lucy and I talk about over the course of this conversation, and also links into her social media, and again, where to get tickets to see her compete or me tell jokes. I should warn you before we get into this, we do mention actual body weights and weight loss perception in some sports. So if that's cyber conversation you're avoiding completely, be warned. But yes, oh God, it's, oh, loved this one so much. Lucy is in Nottingham, so we hoovered over Zoom. We had lunch. I checked what she was having, basically, and made myself a maximum delicious non-athlete's version of the same lunch. She's so amazing. Lucky, 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 lucky us. So are you at work at the moment? Are you on your lunch break?
Yeah, I've just finished my shift, and then okay. I usually have like half an hour to an hour, and then I'll start training at some point. But I'm not working this evening, so it doesn't really matter how long training takes me.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, God, I've got so many questions. I'm basically going to have to work really hard not to just talk to you about PA and to talk to you about eating at all. Sadly, it's a podcast about eating and not about PA. But I've copied your lunch.
Yeah.
You're having...
salmon with new potatoes and like green veg, broccoli, baby monstoo things. And then sweet chilli sauce, probably too much of it, but that just makes it so much better.
Yeah, it's so much better. I've got the same, except I reckon I baked my salmon, and I've they're leftover roasted potatoes and broccoli.
Oh, that sounds nice though.
Bit yum.
Yeah.
I want to show you it. Some really tired peas, tiny. I'm at my mum's. She had a Tupperware of cooked peas. And then she's not great with food waste. Normally she'd bin stuff that's fine, but she'd kept a small bucket of cooked peas in a way that I respected. And I thought, well, I'm going to pay homage to your efforts there against food waste and eat these little shriveledy peas. So
I was going to have peas. I was going to have broccoli, peas, new potatoes, salmon, and then pesto. That's the other one that I do sometimes, which is a nice, like, mix. Although, to be honest, usually a lot of the time I have meal prep, so I don't cook for myself a huge amount.
Okay, I mean, while we're talking, because I don't want it to go horrible, and I will too, but I mean, where to begin? You're the 16th fittest woman in the whole fucking world. That's incredible. Like, what the fuck? That must still be sinking in, I assume.
Yeah.
That is amazing. But I will explain in the introduction to this what CrossFit is and what an extraordinary thing you've just done.
Probably if people follow you, they know what CrossFit is.
You think, although, I don't know. I'm also primarily a clown. So I think I also get people who are going to say... furious about how much PE I post and not funny content. Quite disappointing, I think, if you see me at a gig and then follow me on Instagram and realise it's mainly jumping over boxes or picking up a brick. So but you were a swimmer before CrossFit, is that right?
Yeah. I swam. Literally, I can't remember starting swimming. I've been swimming for that long. But like when I was younger, I was a gymnast.
Oh, wow.
So I did gymnastics until I was 12. And we'd just gone to we were very lucky and went to the Beijing Olympics. And yeah, watched the gymnastics there. And I was watching these girls that were like not that much older than me. And I was like, holy shit, I'm never going to get to that level. Like as much as I would love to, I'm not going to get to. It was a bit of a reality check. And also then like, I started to just become a bit uncomfortable with a few things, like a bit more self-conscious about the fact that I was 12 and I was, you know, prancing around in a leotard. So I then switched to my time mainly being spent in the water, mm-hmm. which, you know, is still pretty half naked and yeah. it doesn't really make sense on that scale.
Submerged for some of it.
Yeah.
So, you say that, but you've ended up in CrossFit, which is possibly the, with, I don't know any other sports people quicker to get naked at the... The first droplet of sweat, and most people, especially the boys, are down to bits of string, aren't they?
Well, I think you find it hilarious at ZFM then, because for a long time we've had a no tops off policy.
Great. That's amazing. At your gym?
Men keep their tops on.
Amazing. What's the logic behind that, just to make it a bit of a...
I think it was partly because it can be quite intimidating sometimes. But also, men tend to sweat significantly more than women do. And so it was like partly a cleanliness thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah.
There's nothing like slipping over in a puddle of someone else's hard work.
That's disgusting. Yeah, my own is fine. But...
over lunch. Yeah, it's true. Your own anything's fine. But you're functioning at such a... I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone on this. I mean, I've spoken to some incredible athletes, but you're functioning at such an elite level. And I presume, I don't know, I want to talk. I just need to know. I've got so many smaller questions I can ask, but I'm desperate to know about eating when you're like doing the level of athletics you're doing, basically. And what it means for you. I mean, do you have, you said you could do meal prep, but does that mean... essentially just do you, at this level, surely you have not just help, but do you have someone telling you what to eat and when to eat it? And is that quite relaxing? Really not?
So yeah, no, not any, so I when I first joined CFN, it was maybe 3 years ago now, there's a guy here called Youth who has a company called Principal Nutrition. And so I started working with him, and it was just like it massively helped me in terms of I've coming through swimming and being at a high level in swimming, I've been aware and educated about food like my whole life.
Right.
But I don't think I was that healthy with my mentality towards it. So I had very much like an all or nothing approach. I was either like eating quote unquote clean and not having anything, or I had smashed a packet of biscuits and like a tub of peanut butter.
Yeah.
And there was like no in between. I either like had the whole packet or didn't have them at all.
Yeah.
And so when I started working with Youth, it was like, he wouldn't tell me necessarily what to eat, but we started, setting more kind of macro goals. So it was started with protein, and then it was protein and calories, and then it was carbs, fats and protein and that kind of thing.
Right.
And then it got to the stage where I had a good enough understanding and my body had kind of settled to a weight, shape, whatever, that I was performing well at, I was training well at, I was getting stronger, but also getting a little bit leaner and like, I was doing well in gymnastics and all this sort of stuff was kind of coming into the place that it's kind of now that relationship is like, I know that he's there if I need them. I know that he's there if I need him, but I don't rely on him as much anymore. And that's where kind of like food prep, anytime I change food prep company, I will have a period of time where I will go back to tracking, make sure that I am eating enough. Because it's usually eating enough. Like when you're training this amount, people really think, and I think as well in the past with CrossFit, like when you look at some of the CrossFitters that are still going, but have come from earlier, like the earlier CrossFit years.
Yeah.
There was like, there was a big focus on like paleo meals or keto things.
Enough carbs, basically.
And that basically, like, I think people would imagine that I would eat really, and I'll use quote unquote when I would use the word clean, because I don't believe it's clean or dirty or whatever. People would perceive that I eat clean all the time, and actually that's really not the case. Like, I start almost every day, or at least once a day, I will have crumpets with like spoonfuls of Nutella on. Like, oh, yeah. If it's not drooling off the side, I haven't put enough on. Like, it's that kind of... But also, for me, like, that is just, like, a constant reminder of, like, I can have this as whenever I want.
Yeah.
Like, I can have this kind of food whenever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so it fits into what I need in terms of calorie intake. It fits into what I need in terms of protein. Not protein. There's very little protein in the Nutella. But in terms of
nuts. Yeah. It's just solid nuts.
Yeah, it's shocking, I know. So yeah, it fits like into what I need from a day.
Yeah.
That I will just have those things because like today there's a really nice little coffee shop and they have these blondies that I love. And so I brought one. Like things like that, like I won't have them all the time,
sure.
But it's just like working with youth and having that has allowed me to find that balance and actually like be able to prioritize better what I need out of my nutrition. And it's not eating healthy food all the time or nutritious food all the time. It's like finding that overall balance.
It's so interesting to hear that. I think like it's so reassuring to hear that.
Scrumptious.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Scrumptious.
Yeah, pretty cool.
There are a few things I'm going to like clarify for anyone listening who's not like, doesn't know about CrossFit and all of that stuff. So even going to go back to macros checking. I mean, that essentially I even need to check. I know what you mean there. Macros are like big food groups, right? Like protein, carbs, fats, right? And then all the other things, I know, checking you've got like, I don't know, enough vitamins.
Fiber and that and stuff,
fruit, veg, etc. You know, everything else we consider under nutrients. But I think when you're, you know, using your body at the to the extent that you are for physical stuff, then you just have to like make sure, including you said tracking. It's like actually sort of, is tracking mean like weighing or like looking at least by sight to check you've got like, you know, at this stage, you'll know roughly how much protein's in this like bit of salmon, roughly, et cetera, et cetera. So
looking at food labels and that kind of thing as well. Yeah, like,
totally. And so it's sort of, and I think the other thing is to clarify that CrossFit, I hope you say this in the intro as well, but like there's no bit of your body it doesn't get. One of the many things I love about it is it's not, and it blows some people's mind because so many other sports are done on weight category. I've begun flirting with Olympic lifting, even though I'm still dog shit at it on its own. You know, like I still can't land on the bottom of a squat. I like to land lovely high up.
Ride it down.
Anyway, that you still get ways to do a competition of that, even if you're doing like a really sweet, you know, masters competition full of nanas. You got to get weighed in front of people to do it. So whereas with CrossFit, it's got nothing to do with how much you weigh. So it's all about being as fit as possible, which means as strong as fast, all sorts of things, endurance, etc., gymnastics element of it. So there is this like, it's entirely functional. My gym's got, and I think it's quite normal for, I'm on the road quite a lot, so I visit lots of random gyms and it's quite normal for there to be no mirrors. It's about what you can do, not what you look
like. Yeah, we don't have any mirrors.
I love it. And in that sense, it is about getting, you find the more you do it, even if you're not tracking anything, your body changes, doesn't it? And I think lots of people have different motivations to me. I've no interest in getting lighter. I just want to get better at all these things. And it's I've just from a fundamental level watched my body change quite a bit, but I'm not lighter. I'm at a weight where I think, you know, 2 years ago I've gave up weighing myself years ago. I've just been able to come back to it from a place of relative neutrality. But it tickled me that I weighed myself for a weightlifting competition and went, oh, like that's a weight that you would have cried for weeks about and spiral into such a dark place. But I know I'm moving my body more than I ever have before. I'm drinking than I ever have before. So who cares?
Generally like, healthier. And I think as well, the thing with like weighing yourself, because I had been weighing myself since I was far too young. Like I think the thing about weight is that unless you're in a weight category sport, it literally doesn't matter what you weigh.
Yeah.
Like, does not matter. No one walks down the street and looks at someone like they must be 60 kilos.
Yeah. Well, like, someone's 70 kilos. An aunt probably does that, Lucy. We've all got one aunt that does that.
Like, you know, hopefully people aren't doing that so much. Yeah. And it's like, we all have this really arbitrary relationship with what we want to weigh. Like, for ages, I was like, oh my God, if I weigh over 70 kilos, I'm really big. And now I'm like 72, 73, leaner than I've ever been, significantly stronger than I've ever been. And actually, I never wanted to weigh a certain weight. I wanted to, like, feel a certain way and potentially look a certain way. And my body looks the way that I wanted it to look, even though I'm heavier than the weight that I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing is just so, like, bizarre. And I feel like there's been a lot more, like, well, I was born in 96. I'm not a 90s baby, but I was definitely, like, I don't count myself as being a 90s kid, really, because it was four years and it doesn't count. But I do remember, like, the magazines that would show people's weight and, like, nitpick people's bodies and stuff like that. And, like, it's so bizarre to me that, and it's actually really sad because you see it all over the place. Like, you see it in CrossFit boxes where, unfortunately, before people, see the light and they're like, actually, it really doesn't matter what I weigh. Someone will come up to you and they'll say that they want to lose weight. And I'm like, do you want to lose weight or do you want to, like, get a little bit leaner or feel stronger or feel fitter or generally feel better about yourself? And you're attributing that with losing weight.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where, like, my background is, I used to be a PT. I still PT a little bit now.
Yeah.
But I also have an undergrad degree from Loughborough in sports science and then a master's in sports psychology. And, like, so, you know, psychology of exercise and all of that sort of stuff was something that we did quite a lot in the master's. And so those kind of things are things that I'm really interested in, but, like, it's because you see it firsthand, like, the impact that these things have had on, I mean, I'm not going to deny that, like, men don't have their own issues, but I will speak as a woman about, you know, the experiences that we have. And there's, when it comes to, you know, relationships with exercise and things like that, we've had years of having exercise equals weight loss, exercise equals punishing your body to lose weight or make up for something that you've eaten or all of that kind of tripe shoved down our throats. But it's like, it's one of the things that I love CrossFit is one of the things that I love about CrossFit is that it doesn't speak to you about that. Like, or at least we don't speak to our members about that. You're not exercising to lose weight. If you want to lose weight, exercise is probably one of the, it's like it helps, but it's not the main way that you should use to lose weight.
Yeah.
And, or lose fat, I'll say lose fat. Yeah, like, you could pee and you'd lose weight, but, like, like, the whole thing is just, it's so messed up.
It is so messed up. And I think, you can only speak to my own experience, but I've been doing this podcast for ages now and I've spoken to so many women and men. You know, it's come up time and again. I've had a few people, listeners, say to me, you talk to most guests about whether they've had a complicated relationship with eating, and then, but you don't ask men. And I was like, I do. It just doesn't make the edit because they never have. Like, and, but all women at some point will have hated themselves to the point where they've probably made themselves sick. It's just fucking mad that almost all women have had that in their backstory, but men haven't. Like, it's kind of like a kind of unspoken me too, I think, the fact that disordered eating is such a normal part of adolescence. And it's horribly often, sometimes younger for women, because we've sold the idea that smaller is better. And I mean, I fucking wang on about that on here, but, like, I think people, I think as well, like, so I never expected to take such an incredible amount of a sense of achievement from PE as a grown up. And it was coming at it from a motivation of going, well, you know, out of lockdown, I love weightlifting. There's loads of weightlifting in it. Try it. And then you meet friends there. I never thought I'd be like, I made friends in the gym. And then you're like, well, I do want to get fitter. Oh, I'd like to do a competition.
I want to see my gym
with so and so. And it doesn't mean, and it's so incredibly joyful to hear that you can even be performing at the level that you are, which is, I don't know how I can quite express it to people listening. It's like, it's fucking insane what this woman has achieved and what has yet is going to go on to do. You are so strong and fit and fast and incredible. And the mindset, must say, but the joy it brings me, I can't quite describe to you, to hear that you still, even at that level, aren't having to have a miserable life when it comes to eating and like just have like loads of powders and sups and count everything and weigh everything and have to think about it all the time or not have any agency over it. It makes me, I can't, it, what an incredibly happy bit of like noise to hear. Like it's so, it's just so great because you sacrifice enough, you know, I think performing at your level, social life, all that side of things, you know, because you presumably are training for hours every day, right?
It's like when we're in the high volume stuff, it's like 6 hours on average. It's a lot. Yeah. And even now, so obviously a month after the games, it's like I'm still in here for like 3 hours. It's just not at the intensity that it used to be. It's like I'm at zone two, which I can talk and train.
Right.
And
right.
I'm doing mechanics work so that like I fix like niggles that I've had in
my warm up, Lucy. So I think that's it all. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are some people that are a little bit more rigid, but with their diet and that kind of thing. But for me, like, I did go through that kind of time when I was swimming, and it mentally just did not, like, I hated it. Like, it was literally like binge and restrict, but not to the like clinical level. It was more like, I would go, so an example I always use is that there's a British Championship in, I don't know, I think it must have been around Easter time. And so I got all this Easter chocolate. I think I was 16 at the time, 15 or 16. Got all this Easter chocolate and I was like, I'm not going to have any until after British Championships. And then I got selected for this. It was my first 10K open water event in Israel. It was in May, I think, May or June. I was like, okay, I'm not going to have the chocolate until after I've done that. And then I got selected for, that was a qualifier, I think, for like European Junior Open Water Championships, which was then like end of July. And then I got selected for like World Junior Open Water Championships, which was then in September. And so I just kept putting back this chocolate that I was going to have. And during that time, I had my birthday, and so I got like more chocolate and all of these kind of things. To the point where I literally had the chocolate, ate all of it, and then threw up after. Yeah. And I was like, "Why did I do that?" But then it was like it was after having that, after having those kind of experiences, and after I quit swimming, that I was like, this kind of mentality towards diet and nutrition was not sustainable for me. And like I didn't feel like it was effective either. Like, even though I was trying to do all these things, I probably had the best diet out of most of the swimmers that I was swimming with, and yet I was quote unquote the big one. I was the one that would have like get told to lose weight and things like that. And like I remember having to keep a food diary, and I gave it to my coach, and he was like, is this seriously what you eat? And I was like, yeah. And it was like really healthy food, and like, and he always couldn't believe it because it was that clean. That,
oh my God.
And I was just like, and it was just things like that, that I was like, it wasn't worth it. Like, I was putting in this effort and I was still getting told that I was, you know, too big, having some comments made about me. And so I was just like, there's no point in going through that again. And like the thing you want to go on about CrossFit is such a big part of my life that I can't not. But the thing that I loved about like when I started working with my coach is that there was this one time when I was coaching in the morning. So it was Saturday morning. I'd come in before to do a bike session, a session that would normally, like, it would be hard, but I would feel fine.
Yeah.
I coached. So I did the bike session, started to feel a bit sick. I coached, and then I had to finish off another part of my session that was like 40-second hard intensity work. And I was like, I felt like my bones were cold. Like, it was a really weird feeling. And I was like, Cyril, I do not feel good at all. And his first, I explained how I was feeling, and his first comment was, have you been eating enough? Because we've got a high volume phase at the moment. And that for me was such a shift in like mentality from my coach. I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm not with a guy that is going to tell me that I like might have eaten, like that I was over, I'll say overfueled, that I was overeating or overfueling rather than like being concerned that I was underfueling. And I was like, oh, this is a nice change. Like it was such a good comment. And I was like, thank you, Cyril. Like, joyful. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Get in. You hear it increasingly, I think, with, well, I feel like I'm increasingly hearing CrossFit athletes say, I don't weigh everything. You know, you've had enough, you've been, most people come to it from another fitness background. Mm. They understand the nutritional needs of their body to some extent. Not that they don't take advice, but it's like, it's not necessary to live like that. Some people, I think it suits their mindset, I think, but it's rarer. I think increasingly people are being, having a more relaxed attitude. And again, I feel like, again, especially people that have come to CrossFit from gymnastics and or swimming, especially women, are like, oh, to come to a sport where you're, the people looking after you or the people coaching you check you've eaten enough compared to being so used to the opposite. And it's so bizarre. Like, I listened to something recently. I listened to a conversation between a gut health specialist, scientist, and a sort of sports nutritionist. And they were talking about some new studies that have come out about, like, you know, if you, it was about exercising fasted, basically. So exercising on a fasted body.
Having not eaten,
Yeah, and there was, and there's lots of, there's, they basically, well, one thing, first thing that fucked me off was that all the studies they've done are on middle-aged white men. But they have done a lot of studies, so at least it's big numbers. And it did look conclusively like it's, and I've no interest in weight loss, but it was interesting that, like, if you exercise on a fasted body, your body, your body uses more fat in that, during that exercise, but doesn't make you lose more weight overall. That has to do with energy intake and energy output, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But as this conversation went on, I was like, well, this is sounding quite compelling. It's not something I'm particularly interested in, but were somebody interested in that, that is, I wonder if that's like quite interesting to know. And then at the very end of the conversation, they said, oh, there are downsides to exercising fasted.
Like your performance going down.
Your performance is fucked. I mean, that's number one. You won't, it's number one. Like, oh, if you want to send it that day, or if you're going for a new PB, or if you really want to put an effort in that day, don't do it. It's like, well, that's massive. But then the one that blew my fucking mind, especially for women, is that, if you exercise fasted, you start sweating out calcium that can lead to fucking osteoporosis. How much do we care about losing that bit of fat that we'd fucking sweat our bones out? Literally, don't literally sweat, but you, I was like, oh God, just put those little downsides in the end of the chat.
Small downside, yeah.
Yeah, I'm interviewing him actually on Monday, so I will bring that up. not the nutritionist, the gut specialist man, because I'm fascinated with all of that.
Yeah.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Do you have to take any fancy supplements? Or does that change all the time?
No, I'm pretty consistent with my supplements. Okay. So I don't take like generally random crap that isn't tested. So this is one of the things that coming from like a sports science background.
Yeah, I was going to say, I get to pick your clever brain.
Well, somewhat clever a few years ago when I had to revise this stuff. But, you know, so like creatine is an absolute must for anyone that wants to do anything in strength. Beta-alanine as well is for like, you know, shorter, not like sprint intervals, but it's like 2 to 4 minute stuff, I think. That's the one that makes you like tingle, and the tingling is normal.
Is that like what you'd get in a pre-workout?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've only
That's the thing that makes you tingle in a pre-workout. Oh. And so I don't have beta-alanine as part of a pre-workout drink because I don't love relying on caffeine to like make me, you know, fired up for training or whatever. Although admittedly, sometimes I do need a bit of caffeine.
I wouldn't have, but it has a completely different effect on me. I've had two pre-workout drinks ever. The first one, my then coach, was before I started CrossFit. He was testing my squat one rep max. And so he gave me this like bubblegum flavored drink to have on my walk to the gym. And initially fine. And he was like, how are you getting on? Is your face tingle or whatever? I was like, not really. And I got the best one rep max squat I've ever squatted. But then afterwards on the way home, I felt like I'd taken some filthy speed. I was off my tits. I was chewing my mouth like I'd taken actual pills. And I had to go and record Radio 4's Now show off my face during lockdown, luckily over Zoom, absolutely mangled. And so that scared me so much as I didn't drink one for years. And then I did, but my gym had a little throwdown and I took that. Anyway, long story short, I had another one, a different one. And it just made me think I was on the edge of puking all day and having a panic attack. I didn't get any of that high this time.
Oh, God.
And it made me think, and the first workout was like, for me, really long. and I was like, well, I'm spent now. I'm spent. And by the time it got to the weightlifting, the bit I was looking forward to, I was like in a sort of state of panic. I was really overanalyzing everything, really sort of sweaty and felt like everyone was looking at me. And that's not really what I was after. I think I better stick to
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't love that kind of, it's like a weird kind of alertness that you get sometimes with pre-workouts. And I think I tried
your heart
one
rate
new
goes
topic.
Up in a way you're like, I wanted the opposite. I wanted you to stay down there until I was ready.
My supplement company do a nootropic, which I don't really know what it is, to be honest. But I was like, you know what? They sent it to me, so I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And all of our stuff as well, I will caveat, is like informed sport tested. So it's all tested for drugs and everything. So I was like, well, you know, what harm can it do? Tried it. And I was like, I just couldn't, I didn't know what was happening. And I felt weirdly like focused on stuff to the point where I was like, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, never having that again.
You want to be better at PE, but you don't want to be like, does anybody want to kiss? Does anybody want a really long chat? Does anyone want to dance?
But,
yeah. So, isn't it funny?
Those kind of things I tend to kind of stay away from.
Fair play.
Like coffee. And also my belly doesn't like fizz or anything like that. So like, if I drink any kind of fizzy caffeinated drink before, and it's like not immediately before, but even sometimes it just takes so long and I just feel like it's horrible.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, we'll go back to supplements. So, beta-alanine, creatine, omega-3 and vitamin D. So what you would get from the sun and what you get from fish. Because I don't, although I don't tend to, like, I don't tend to eat a huge amount of meat. So I will literally have like salmon and whitefish and chicken, and that's pretty much it.
That's so interesting to hear as well, because I think a lot of people will think like us gym bros are all like smashing 15 steaks every day. And that's, again, like quite an outdated idea, isn't it? There's loads of other ways to get.
Like, I've never eaten red meat. And like a lot of my family are vegetarian as well. So I don't see the need to have it, but like I do have like whey protein. And that's pretty much the extent of like the supplements that I take. It's nothing fancy. There's a reason behind everything.
Have you ever had food crop up or eating happen, not happen, but like occur in any of your dreams? Have you ever had a dream about eating?
This is really random. Yeah. It was a long time ago. But the only reason that I remember it is because I had a dream that we were in the primary school canteen, and we used to have like, if you had dessert, you had two options. You either had dessert or like apple, chopped apple. And so I was having some chopped apple, and the lady came round and she was asking us questions. And just as I woke up to my mum, I said, "Can I have some more apple, please?" And she was like, yeah. And like, she had no context for the dream. So I just randomly woken up and asked for apple. And I was like,
amazing.
Where did it go?
That is incredible. Yeah,
very random. I'm sure I've had other, you know, food related dreams, but that was just the one that.
No, that's brilliant. I slept ate a whole Easter egg once as a teenager, and I've never spoken about food in my sleep. I used to sleep talk quite a lot, and once I was like speaking gibberish, and my then partner said to me, "What is happening to you?" And apparently I said, "Shh, I'm having a bovine adventure." I was having an adventure with cow. What's that?
That's a sophisticated word to use in your sleep.
Yeah, I know, fancy word. I think subconscious me is, a lot more articulate. Have you ever accidentally or on purpose eaten anything that wasn't food? Mm. It's fine if the answer's no.
I think no. I'm quite an adventurous with stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Have
you ever used food for anything other than food? For example, a weapon or a prank?
No, I've definitely tried to, I'm not really big on like April Fool's days, but I did try to pull the whole, there's a leak in the sink or there's a leak in the kitchen, and then there was just a leak in the sink.
I love it. I actually am not aware of that prank.
Oh, it's not very exciting.
It sounds like you've put a leak in the sink. Is that the joke?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Absolutely, great. I think my 6-year-old would be in the market for that one.
I'd probably sick when I did it, to be fair.
Yeah, fair. Tell me about any food or drink which you used to hate but that you love now, because I feel like everybody's got one.
Peas. Yeah.
Childhood.
I think I used to hate peas because it's just like, you know, everyone hates peas. Peas aren't nice, but actually peas are really nice.
Oh, peas are really great.
I like peas. Yeah.
Absolutely really love peas. If there's no other option, would you eat a person?
No.
No?
No.
Come on. Imagine there's no other option. You're so hungry. No. It's quite a strong no, actually. I'm going to stop. I'll stop nudging. I've sensed your boundaries, even over the Zoom, and I will stop forcing you to think of a scenario in which you'd eat a person. Worst looking or smelling but best tasting thing you've ever eaten?
I mean, it's a very typical answer, but like, you know, cheese, any kind of blue cheese doesn't look good, does it? But I do like it.
But you do like it.
Yeah.
So you said you're not adventurous, but you're into blue cheese, because I think blue cheese is a big old flavour. Like, it's one of those things I love and I understand it why other people wouldn't.
But it's because I first got into it, actually. It was like we had to make in year 7 it's very bold that they made us have blue cheese in year 7. But anyway, it was like a cheese sauce for pasta or something. It was like a cheesy pasta bake. And we had to use Dolcellata, which is quite like a soft blue cheese.
Creamy.
But it was really, really good. And then that was the start of my relationship with blue cheese. And now I just love it with like at Christmas with like caramelized red onion chutney and biscuits and
fit. Lovely business. Do you think there's anything that you think demands that you believe demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way. Like, lots of people have like a way in which they eat their Cadbury's cream egg is the classic example. But things people have given me, there's pieces of fruit. People have very particular ways they eat an apple or an orange, or Big Macs people have given me, although you don't eat red meat, but like, yeah, sandwiches. Is there any item that you think has got to be done in a certain order?
That is interesting. Interesting question.
Thank you.
What do I have to eat? Not necessarily in a certain order, but like, you know when, I guess it's the way that you eat it. You know when you have like crisps and dip?
Yeah.
So I've realised since I've stopped living with family that our family are big time scoopers crisps and dip. We don't dip, we scoop everything.
Me too. I use it like a shovel.
Exactly.
There are other people not doing that who just...
No. When people just like dip it in and then take it out, and I'm like, but you've got no dip on there.
Yeah.
All of our family would like fight over... We used to have like... It was like a great night when we had tangy cheese Doritos and guacamole.
Yes.
We'd fight over the curb Dorito chip so that we could scoop as much guacamole into it and then have it. But it would mean that we would finish a bowl of guac in like... We'd have like five chips each, and that would be it, because we'd all just like shovel it onto the chip. So yeah,
amazing.
Chips and dip have to be scooped, not dipped.
Yeah, well,
even though I know it's called dip,
I believe. Yeah, I've just realised how passive aggressive the name of the food is. There, they should. Yeah, shovel,
yeah,
and
it's a shovel.
Yeah, and
condiment,
loadable, wetter. Yeah. Accompaniment. Glorious.
Do you want to know something really weird that I used to do with food?
Yes.
Oh my god, it's so disgusting.
I'm into it.
We used to go to, if we were ever going to the theatre in Windsor, there was a Bella Italia right next to the theatre. So we used to go to Bella Italia before we went to the theatre. And I used to get Coke.
Yeah.
So, and we would get garlic bread as a starter.
Oh my god.
My garlic bread into the Coke and eat it and then drink the garlic Coke.
Oh, garlic Coke. I feel I'm worried that by recalling that memory, you've triggered yourself. Yeah, that sounds rank. That's one of the rankest things anyone's ever offered up.
Yeah.
Because, and I hope someone from Coke is listening, actually, because I feel like they've drained almost every other resource, haven't they? There's no flavour they haven't added to their own drink. There's been like everything, isn't there? There's probably been like Coke lavender,
yeah,
Coke horseradish, Jasmine.
Yeah.
But no, now they know.
No garlic.
Like Coke garlic.
Yeah.
In the Windsor branch of Bella Italia, yeah. If nowhere else. I love it. Delicious. Ducks start a cult, which we're all forced to join. Quacks are the only language allowed. We're only ever sleeping with one eye open. Do you know that ducks do that? Standing constantly halfway into some usually really filthy cold water, never really been allowed indoors, with giants making us watch them eat our massive eggs. Kissing's cancelled forever because of the beaks. It's basically disgusting, and it's the end of the world as we know it. Luckily, the duck cult has agreed to go back to never having existed, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, play a million games of Bananagrams with no breaks, all whilst playing bagpipes and balancing on a hoverboard. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Yeah, you go down in history as the woman who saved us all from a horrible duck cult apocalypse, but your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind, I think it probably took about like 20-something hours to play all the Bananagrams is, and your hands and mouth were busy with the bagpipes, so you couldn't have any snacks. The reward in your moment is the feast of your dreams. So it's the opposite of a last meal, because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier. And this is a fantasy situation, so I couldn't give a fuck about any consequences, nutritionally, ethically, anything. I would love to know, in this fantasy scenario where you couldn't be, like, you are like the most satisfied, happy you can imagine being, and so hungry, what would you have to eat? What would you have to drink? And if there's a who, with, and where, who, with, and where? Also, I'm aware this is only your answer now. And if I asked you even in half an hour, you could give a different answer. So I just would like to know the answers now.
So my absolute favourite meal is mum's Christmas dinner.
Yes.
Because most of our family is vegetarian, over the years we've kind of gradually eased out the meat. So we don't generally have turkey anymore. But we do have like really, really, she like home makes everything, like the nut roast, the stuffing, all of that sort of stuff. And then we have really random stuff. Like, I don't know why this became a thing. It was probably because when like one of us was younger and we didn't like roast potatoes. So we have potato croquettes with our Christmas dinner. And I love it. And because it's the only time I ever have potato croquettes.
Yeah.
And then our homemade gravy as well. Everything. Oh, it's just so many flavors. The bread store. Oh,
I love it.
I love it every year. And then I love my mom's cooking. It's going to become very
great. Shout out to your mom.
Yeah, big up Joan Scarrett, very active on Instagram, but only behind her avatar face thing that she's got as her Instagram profile picture. And dessert is it's a citrus sponge, but it's like spongy at the top, and then the bottom is like goofy, citrusy goo, basically. Like it just like, you know what's in a lemon tart? It's like that underneath, but with like a citrusy top.
Oh,
and at the start, when you take it out of the oven, it's like really, really juicy and all of the juices are all flowing around.
Yeah.
And then if you leave it like half an hour to an hour, and then the juices start to solidify a little bit.
Yeah,
and then
a little bit crystally, a little bit crystally on the top.
A little bit like, well, you can't really crystally on the top because it's not like, she doesn't put sugar on the top, but like, the gooiness starts to like solidify a little bit more. So it's like this like zesty, I don't even know how to
made my mouth
water. It's so good. Yeah.
Sounds incredible.
So that in terms of where, somewhere by water, I like being around water.
Maybe not a pond, because I reckon you'd still be pretty pissed off with the ducks.
Yeah. We live on the river. I like flowing water more than I like plastic water. The ponds and canals smell sometimes, and I don't love that. Somewhere like that. Just with generic family and friends. I'm not overly fussy, but somewhere like in the garden or something like that. Christmas dinner with
Sounds incredible. I love it.
Yeah.
Also, I love talking about Christmas in, just not August. It's a very big,
I know.
So joyful. I love Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your lovely answers. Thank you for doing this silly podcast.
That's all right. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, how good was that? Immediately look Lucy up, please. And look at the sorts of out of this world things she can do with her body and mind, the things she can lift, move, endure and enjoy, and then realise what an absolute tonic it is to hear that she can still eat in a way that brings her joy. I'm so reassured that she eats with happiness and life balance in mind and not just fuel and drudgery. It made me a bit mind blown, actually, with giddiness to learn that. I think there's this bit of me that just assumes that all very elite athletes must have to eat miserably, but it's not true, is it? Especially not if they've found a brilliant sport that doesn't overvalue smallness. It doesn't have to be like that. Life is good. Follow Lucy. She is at LucyCampbell5 on Instagram. I will link to her social media on my podcast notes and everywhere I'm tagging this podcast. Follow the podcast too, at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me at Jessica Foster Q. Come and see me on tour, please. I'm taking my show Wench on tour. It's just sold out the whole of the Edinburgh Fringe. It's had a
bunch of really lovely 4 and 5 star reviews, including in The Guardian and The Times. I'm bringing it all around the country. Please come see it. I'm away with it now, from right now, right through until the end of November. Links to where to get tickets to see me do stand up, or to follow Lucy on social media, or to indeed go and see her at any events and cheer her on, are as ever in my podcast notes, wherever you got this podcast from. Anything longer than a tweet you want to send me, you can email me also through my website, jessicafosterhugh.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.